Would you open your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 19 through 22. Paul, speaking to the church at Corinth, saying, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness." Verse 20. "And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours." Dear Heavenly Father, we have great comfort in knowing that you know our needs before we even pray them. You know our thoughts. Father God, we ask that you elevate our thoughts, that you hold those thoughts that distract us now captive, that you help us to have your mind, Jesus, the mind of Christ. Bless this time. Anoint this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul is saying, let me just warn you, if you're following the wisdom of this world, that's foolishness with God. So let's first of all understand that. That's like the umbrella statement. Make sure you're not making decisions solely on the basis of what the world says is right or wrong. We have to understand who our God is. It's always important to take a couple steps back and understand the vastness of our God. He is amazing. Our God is supreme. He is wise. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He knows all things. He created all things. So for him to see us and to put our confidence in our own finite wisdom is foolishness. Unfortunately, many esteem, look up to, and follow earthly wisdom. They replace godly wisdom with their own earthly ingenuity. And it's like setting themselves a trap. Man's thoughts are vain. The Lord knows that. We esteem men. We esteem wealthy people, famous people, who we perceive to be brilliant. We esteem them. We look up to them. We emulate them. We want to be like them. When Jesus says, "Be my follower, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me." Yet we see this person over here who's achieved so much, who has so many ornamental, beautiful things in their life, whether they be mansions or cars or businesses or accolades. God takes them in their own craftiness. In this particular letter, the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth, people in the church were becoming divided by the wisdom of doctrines, the styles of worship, conjecture, pontification. Paul was exhorting the church to stop the division. As the late Matthew Henry says, "To have a high opinion of our wisdom is but to flatter ourselves, and self-flattery is the very next step to self-deceit. The way to true wisdom is to sink our opinion of our own to a due level and be willing to be taught of God. We must become a fool who would be truly and thoroughly wise." You know, a person who wants to learn must understand that he doesn't already know. The person who resigns his own understanding that he may follow the instruction of God is in the way to true and everlasting wisdom. "The meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he teach his way." Psalm 25:9. He that has a low opinion of his own knowledge and powers will submit to better information. Such a person may be informed and improved by revelation. But, in contrast, the proud man, conceited of his own wisdom and understanding, will undertake to correct even divine wisdom itself and prefer his own shallow reasonings to the revelations of infallible truth and wisdom. And make no mistake about it, we have an enemy who is standing absolutely resolved and opposed to godly wisdom. And how does he do it? The influence of the world. The influence of the culture, whether it be through the music, the magazines, movies. We must understand that godly wisdom and human ingenuity, oftentimes stand in polar opposites. That should cause every Christian to pause, to reflect, to assess. What paradigm are you looking through to measure your core values? What is sacred? What is right? What is wrong? What is improper? What is immoral? What does the Word of God say? Or are you looking at the Word from the world? This comes back to the very heart of our salvation. This comes back to the very soil in which the seeds were planted. Salvation comes by faith in Christ, and this faith must be kept fervent and alive. How do we keep it fervent and alive? It's like putting a log on a fire. It must be stoked. It's stoked by spending time in the Word, spending time in prayer, coming before our Father with a broken and contrite heart, saying like David said, "Search my heart, O God, for any unclean way. That I might not sin against thee, I've hidden thy word in my heart. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." Or, conversely, we live in worldliness. Starting out as a fervent believer in Christ, the worries of the world smothers the flame. Before long, carnality, impulse takes over. And we become more and more caught up in our own human wisdom, our human assessment. Sadly, I am convinced that some of the most misinterpreted theology being peddled on TV and mega churches across the world have to do with a faith that obfuscates personal responsibility. You see, they've taken out the personal discipleship of following Jesus. And they teach a grace that relegates the great gift of redemption to nothing more than a license to continue on in sin. Rather than stirring up the faith, rather than keeping it fervent and alive, it gets smothered by worry, carnality, and fleshly impulse. You see, they believe liberty means freedom to live any way they want. It's all under the blood. I'm free. Friends, that's not liberty, that's misery. The idea of a disciple means to be a disciplined follower of Jesus. We're not stagnant. We're not worldly. Friendship with the world is enmity toward God. A sojourner is one who's walking the narrow road. Don't be narrow-minded, some might say. Many paths, one God. Friends, there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus. The road is narrow, so if I need to be narrow-minded, I will be narrow-minded. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice and obey my commands." The wisdom of this world is the wide road that tells you you're free to do whatever you want without consequence, and that leads to death and separation. A Christian who's been given the gift of liberty and the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, the Helper, has been given the gift to overcome the ways of this world. We walk in the Spirit and don't obey the impulses of the flesh. We walk on in obedience. Let me ask you this question. Perhaps you find yourself right now ensnared. You once were a Christian. You once were an active follower of Jesus Christ. And now you're living your life doing things that you don't want to do. You find yourself pretty much conforming to the patterns of this world. You no longer have a clear understanding of what's right and wrong. In fact, you more or less have just resigned to just follow the ways of the worldly wisdom, human ingenuity. Let me ask you this question. How's that working for you? Do you want to obey Jesus? Do you want to follow Christ? Or are you more worried about being liked by your friends and coworkers? A Christian lives with conviction. A Christian has evidence in their life of regeneration. For many who claim to be Christians, they couldn't be convicted in a court of law with enough evidence of being a Christian. And that is sad. Before you think I'm being judgmental, I'm trying to just help. That's all. I'm wanting to set people free by the good news of Jesus Christ. There's a better way. There's a better life. You don't have to be ensnared by sin. You don't have to buy the lie, the world's wisdom. You can be an overcomer. A Christian's life is dedicated to following Jesus. When we see something that looks wrong, we say, Lord, what does your word say? We research it. We come before our Father in God. We say, Lord, search our heart. The Holy Spirit is active and alive, checks and balances. Many have come before God, and they accepted Jesus on their own terms of surrender. They negotiated. They say, I'll accept you, Jesus, on these conditions. I want you to bless me, protect me, keep me safe, shield me. I'm afraid human understanding, human ingenuity is plaguing the body of Christ. This comes back to lordship. Who is the Lord of your life? Who is sitting on the throne of your life? Is it Jesus? Is Jesus on the throne? If Jesus is on the throne, then your response is, my Lord, what do you want? What do you want with my life? What do you have to say about this matter? The world says this, but what do you say? Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Friends, this is the battle for our mind, the front line battle, the battle for our thought life. And trust me, there are many distractions, darts that are coming, advertisements, lusts, covetous, greed, all sorts of salacious, gratuitous images popping up, spamware, pop-ups, cookies, websites, on phones, point-of-purchase signs, magazines, everywhere you look. Worldly wisdom. We know that impressions drive responses. So it's important to know that Perhaps you're not making a conscious decision to follow your own human and worldly wisdom and ingenuity. But if you're not actively pursuing godly wisdom by being a follower of Jesus Christ and reading and meditating on His Word, then you're being carried off. You're wandering off the narrow road and onto the wide road that leads to despair. The more impressions, the more likely a viewer is to respond to an advertisement. You see, that's the name of the game. Get as many impressions as possible in front of a person, and then they respond to it. The enemy is trying so hard to just devastate a Christian's faith, telling them, live now. You only live once. It's not worth waiting. Don't sacrifice. God's not really there. Whatever the lie is, reject it. There is a spiritual battle that's taking place. And this war isn't a carnal war. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand. Friends, we must understand there's a battle taking place for your mind, my mind. We have a choice to make. Do you want to live a life holy and pleasing to God? We must understand we have to change. We don't continue on in our sin and make accommodation for our sin. It's like making the guest room in our house just so we can indulge in carnal pleasures. There's something more that Jesus has. Walk on. He'll do it. You can't do it in your own strength. Einstein said, we cannot solve our problems with the same thinking we used to when we created them. The emphasis is you can't solve these problems on your own. You see, the law of God works in such a beautiful way. It's like a full-length mirror. It's exposing the great disparity between God's righteous and holy standard and our actual condition. It literally shows us our great need for help. See, before we came to Christ and accepted what Jesus did on the cross for us, we had to have an understanding of our wicked inclination, our wicked standing before God. And we must now understand our propensity to return to that wickedness. We can't accept Christ and then in our own strength live a godly life. We must understand our limitations in order to be an overcomer. We must wave the surrender flag before the battle can be won. And who we surrender to is the who that will carry us to victory. So the question is, are you following your own human ingenuity, your own human effort, or are you following godly wisdom? The paradigm shift, the new reality of a believer, the eyes that are set on the way, and this goes to the very heart of lordship. Who is the Lord of our life? Be my heart, my hands, my voice. Anyone who wants must deny himself. You reject the human way and you follow the way. And praise God that He sent us help. Sent us His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who now sends His followers, the Holy Spirit, as our great helper. What we cannot do in our own strength, He can do through us. So we must understand that the answer to living a godly life isn't just to sit in the armchair of grace and make accommodations for our sin. The answer is to get in His presence and be transformed by His Holy Spirit. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect, the will of God. This goes right to the heart of our conduct, where our feet take us. Our feet take us where our mind wants to go. We make our mind up one way or another. People make all kinds of excuses for lawless and godless behavior. They say things like, I'm only human, or I'm forgiven, and they really don't anticipate changing their conduct or condition. And that is a huge mistake. You see, they believe that God's grace covers their continued lawless conduct. God calls us to a new life in Him, and He has equipped us with a better way to live. We must not forget that final exhortation from the Apostle Paul, Romans 7:24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Verse 25, thank you. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Getting back to that question, do you want to be holy and pleasing to God? Then set your mind to it by filling it with the Word of God, and your feet will follow the Good Shepherd. Romans 8:5 through 10. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead. There are Christians that feel like they got run over by a truck. They are whipped, battered, beaten down. The outward aches of an inward condition. The physical manifestation shows up as a result of all sorts of issues. Sleeplessness due to worry, panic, despair, looking through the worldly human paradigm. Their own worldly analysis leads to despair. Soon, that turns into sickness and infirmity. There's a better way, friends. Matthew 9:36, Jesus showed compassion to the crowd who He saw was harassed. The verb harassed translated trouble. In Mark 5:35, Luke 7:6, meaning literally flayed, and thence figuratively tormented, worried, vexed. Many Christians are living tormented lives in shackles of addiction, separated from the abundant life that Christ called them to, because they've leaned on their own understanding. They followed the ways of the world and never became separate. Never took up their cross and walked on. Justified by faith, refusing to be sanctified by following Christ. They were not merely a sheep that have grown weary and faint, hungry, looking up and yet not fed, but were as those that have been harassed by the wolf, the prey of thieves and robbers. It's very sad. Many, many, right now, who are in the fold, call themselves Christians, have foregone the wonderful future that is theirs as a believer of Jesus Christ. They have settled in and accepted the harassment of the enemy as if it were a badge of honor or a tour of duty that they signed up for. Let me speak to you, if that is you. Jesus finds no pleasure in seeing his sheep, whom he has already empowered, succumb to the trickery of the wolf. He's called us and given us the power to stand up and be wise to who our enemy is and resist him in the name of Jesus. We can and should be living in his peace and blessed assurance with a full measure of joy no matter what our circumstances are. How? As his sheep, he tenderly tendeth to our needs and promises never to leave us or forsake us. And friends, it's true, we can get tired, sometimes weary, but we don't have to live a life being harassed. We must also remember our hope. It's very important not to forget the ending to this amazing story. I don't know about you, but the book I read and live by shows me who the King of Kings is and who I am as his child. I'm more than a conqueror. Romans 8:37.